There's a motto that used to be for a restaurant chain, and I'm wondering if any of you can tell me what restaurant chain this is. Their motto was, have it your way. Who is it? Burger King. That's right. That's an old model that's gone by the wayside now, and I'll hopefully come back to that near the end. But today, I was reminded by that motto because basically this is what the Israelites are wanting right now. They're saying, we want to have it our way. Samuel, this is what we want, this is what we expect, and this is what we're going to have. Well, before we really get into where we can understand what all this is about, because this is a big deal, what's about to happen right here in Scripture is this is the beginning of kingly rule in the Old Testament. It's about to happen here. But let's look a little bit at what has been going on up until this point. Up until this point, the Israelites were united by history, language, and religion, but not so much politics. Because you see, there were 12 tribes of Israel. And those 12 tribes of Israel were spread out. They were autonomous. They functioned separate from each other, but they were still one people. So in the midst of that, there was no central authority. There was no king like it was at a lot of other places. Now, we know that they had conquered the land that they had gone into, that the Israelites now occupied, but it wasn't completely peaceful. There were some of the Canaanites there that would come back and they would attack them every once in a while. There were other people such as the Moabites and the Ammonites, and they would come. And so occasionally there would be these crises, and not just military crises. I'm sure there were other type of crises as well. So periodically, when they had these crises, they would pull together for collaboration, for cooperation. And at this time, often there would be a judge that they would divinely appoint. So in other words, they come together and they would ask God to help them settle upon a judge that would then be the one, be the political and military power during that crisis for that temporary time. And if you want to go back and look a couple books back from Samuel, there's actually a book entitled Judges, and you can see more about that. But there were times when this may happen when there was no judge available. And so priests and prophets would act as leaders of the people in an informal fashion. And this is where Samuel came in. This was the case with him. Samuel was a prophet, and he was God's prophet. He offered spiritual and practical guidance to God's people. And from what we understand, I believe Samuel was a good leader. He was listening to God. He was trying to be obedient to God. But the people of Israel had reached a point that they were looking at people around them, and this wasn't what they wanted anymore. They were led by the Israelites were led by the prophet Samuel, who I do believe, according to Scripture, had this close connection to God. It said immediately when they came to him, he was disappointed, but he went immediately and prayed to God, but they still insisted on a king. I'm going to go through and talk about the Scripture, and throughout this, I'm going to pause occasionally and reflect on what this might be saying to us today. And so at this point, I just looked at this. When we insist on our way, just as the Israelites insisted on their way, I believe God will not usually stop us from moving in the direction that's contrary to his will. Because God gives us that freedom, just like he gave the Israelites the freedom to make this choice for a king that at that point he didn't desire them to have. Now, another thing that I think will happen, what did Samuel do before he went through with the process of granting them the king they asked for? What did he tell them? He told them what it was going to be like. He gave them what the consequences were going to be. And I believe if we are connected to God, if we're willing to listen, if we're paying attention, even if we're not paying attention, I still think God is letting us know that there's a direction that he wants us to go, and that it's not, there's going to be things, we aren't going to know everything that's going to happen from every decision that we make, but God allows us to be privy, to understand enough to know that there are directions that we should go and directions we shouldn't go. And every one of us in here, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, there have been times that you have knowingly gone in a direction other than what you knew God wanted you to. I have done it. Each of us have done it. And there's a sense in which God does let us know, just like he let the Israelites know. Well, as we continue looking at this, I want us to think about the contradictions that the Israelites, they chose to live in contradiction to God's way, and here's some different ways they did it. First of all, they had an excuse. What was their excuse about getting rid of Samuel? Was he not good looking enough? What was their excuse? He was too old. Who said that? You're listening. I'm proud of you, buddy. You could be my son one day. So Samuel, they said, was too old. Now, as I thought about this, I was led to share something. I've used a verse from the New Testament quite often, 1 Timothy 4:12, that to me is kind of the other spectrum of what I want to talk about today. But 1 Timothy 4:12 says, "Let no one despise your youth." And we talk about that all the time, how young people, you need to know and understand that no matter how young you are, God's going to use you. Well, this is a case where Samuel was being told by the people that were around him, you just aren't able to cut it anymore, Samuel. You're too old. You don't have what it takes. You don't have the energy. You don't have the pizzazz. We need somebody else. But that wasn't what God was saying. And so even though there may have not seemed like there was a place for Samuel in that setting, God was saying there was. And God was saying that he wanted Samuel to understand that he was loved and valued and cared for by God. And he did have a purpose, even if that purpose was to let the Israelites know what they were getting into. Now I want to use that, and what I want to talk about today just briefly is that no matter how young you are, I want to say no matter how many years of maturity you have, God has a plan and a purpose for you. You do not become less useful to God the older you get. You know who says that lie? Satan. And if you believe that, that's where it's coming from. If you are living and breathing and on this earth, God has a plan and a purpose for you. And just like with Samuel, I believe one of the biggest things, and I don't believe a lot of times we have enough of it today, the benefit of those who have been around longer is that they have wisdom and experience that younger ones can't have and don't have, and we need to be willing to share what we have with each other. We need to be willing to share, we need to be willing to accept, and that works. It has to be a mutual thing. So we as a church need to understand that. And you know, for those of us who may look and say that and talk about those mature people, it won't be long before the rest of us will be there. So we need to understand that for ourselves as well. This leads to another contradiction. They focused on the outward presentation instead of the inner heart and soul. They wanted to compare they wanted to compare themselves to these other nations. And they wanted a king who would put himself on display and who would give an outward show of power. I want to explain a little bit about what's happening here, and I don't know I'm going to get it exactly right. I'm going to try to share a little bit of Hebrew with you, but I'm telling you, I got the lowest grade in Hebrew I've ever gotten in any course I ever took in my life. So give me a little bit of grace. But there are two words that I want to share with you today for king or ruler. One of them is melech. And melech refers to a king in terms of someone who has authority over everything. And in Scripture, the ideal melech is God. Well, there's also Nagid, spelled N-A-G-I-D if anyone wants to look it up at some point. This is considered a leader, a shepherd leader, that would typically be serving under someone else. And in the Old Testament sense, the ideal form of this would be a king that acknowledges God as the king over him. So he's ruling, but he's carrying out what God desires. And so I want to give you a scripture that just puts both of these into context. If you want to look it up now or later, but it comes from 2 Samuel chapter 5, verses 2 through 3. 2 Samuel chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. This is what it says. In the past, well, while you're looking that up, I'll give you, if you haven't figured it out, the first king is going to be Saul. And Saul was not the king God wanted to have. Saul was a king that the Israelites insisted and demanded. And there was going to be a king that was going to come later that was the king that God did desire. So that this is the context in which we're reading the verse here. So it's several chapters beyond where we are today. But 2 Samuel 5, 2 through 3 says this. In the past, while Saul was king, and the Hebrew word there is melech. So, and he was the king that assumed authority over everything himself. In the past, while Saul was melech king over us, you, David, were the one who led Israel on their military campaigns. And the Lord said to you, you will shepherd my people Israel, and you will become their ruler. And ruler is translated neged, which is a shepherd leader. So even while Saul was considered to be the king, even here David is seen as the leader that was after God's own heart. And it continues, when all the elders of Israel had come to King David at Hebron, the king made a covenant with him at Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king. And this time the word king is melech over Israel. So David is referred to as both. I don't want you to think Saul was one and David was the other. It's not. David in Hebrew, too, is referred to as melech, but it's also in the context of neged, that he was first a man after God's own heart. And if you remember, when he was chosen, the process even for choosing David was when he went and he was looking for a king, those weren't the ones that were sent in. All of his brothers came in first, because they were looking at what was on the outside, and they just thought, there's no way, David, not David, he couldn't be one. But that was who God had called. So what does this say to us today? Each of us fall into a space of being a leader in some way, shape, or form. At home, at school, at work, on a sports team, I don't care where it is. And some of you are going to say, I don't have a leadership bone in my body. And I know you're thinking that right now. But when you're one-on-one with somebody else, if you have a brother or a sister and you get together, someone's leading. You're having a conversation. You're doing something. We're put in leadership roles. Some assume them differently. Some deal with them differently. But there's times when all of us lead in some way, shape, or form. So what I would challenge us with is that we consider what kind of leader we're going to be. Are we going to be one who claims to be in control and have all the authority to ourselves, and we make ourselves a melech leader? Or are we going to follow more along the lines of being a shepherd leader and allowing God to call the shots? Think about that for a moment. Just in your past week, the decisions that you made, particularly decisions that were involving other people. And what I have to go back and look at, I spent a week on vacation. And there were times when I was put in a position to make the decision. What did I use in making decisions? It's just a vacation, Greg. You just go and have a good time and have vacation. But there are ways I can make decisions that I make that more about me. There are ways I can make that decision that I'm trying to please other people. There's also a way that I can allow God to lead me, that God can offer us experiences even on our vacation that I can't even anticipate if I'm simply willing to be the person God calls me to be. It happens in every situation. What kind of leader are you going to be? The next thing that was in contradiction to what God wanted was that they desired to be like other nations. They were playing the comparison game. They were more concerned about comparing themselves to others than being successful according to God's standards instead of following of the world's standards instead of following God. What that goes back to is the fact, and this is all through Scripture too, we've talked about it in the past, is you don't play the comparison game. They're saying, we want to be like the other nations. We want to look like they do. We want to be ruled like they do. And so it's all about that. We don't need to go and look at someone else or somebody else and say, that's what we need to be like. That's what we need to be doing. Now, there are times God can use other people to help lead, direct, and guide us. But it needs to be God that is doing the leading and directing and guiding, because if we're playing that comparison game, we're going to end up going down the road God doesn't want us to go, even if it's a good thing we're trying to compare ourselves to, because it's very possible what God wants for one person, God doesn't want for the other in terms of how they lead and what they're doing. And the other side of that, and this is extra, it's not even connected directly here, it's tangentially, that if we play too much of the comparison game, we're going to look and say, well, you know, I'm doing better than that person is. I've got more of my act together than they do. I think I'm good. I don't need anything else. And so then we really just dismiss God and start saying, well, we've just got it together. So the thing that they did that went contrary to God's will is that they wanted to be like other nations, or they played the comparison game. So we can't do that. Next, they weren't willing to pay attention to God's timing. Do you know God had actually already told them, I'm going to give you a king? Look at Deuteronomy. We're not going to read the whole thing. If you want to go back to it at some point, Deuteronomy chapter 17. And if you want to turn to it, I'm going to begin with verse 14. But I'll tell you what's going to happen there right before I read it. God had planned for them to have a king. A king after his own heart. But because of their insistence, they had to live through the rule of Saul instead of beginning with King David. Listen to what Deuteronomy chapter 17 said. When you enter the land the Lord your God has given you, talking about when they had conquered the land, is given you and taken possession of it and settled it, and you say, let us set a king over us like all the nations around us, be sure to appoint over you a king the Lord your God chooses. He must be from among your fellow Israelites. Don't play, and it goes on to say what it was, but the thing is, God was supposed to be a part of it. God said, I'm going to give you a king. And the Israelites knew this. I feel certain that the ones who weren't there and didn't hear it, it had been passed on, so they knew they were going to get a king, but they weren't ready. They weren't willing to wait for God's timing to provide the king that God wanted. Have you ever been inclined to push God's timetable just a little bit? Stay connected to God and allow the time to be according to His will. And you know what this requires in order to do this? It requires obedience to God. Obedience when sometimes it's hard. Obedience to keep doing what you're doing sometimes when you're wanting to do something else. Or obedience to keep striving for something when you just feel like you've been striving long enough and it needs to be over. But obedience and patience. And those are words that aren't too difficult to say, but they are very difficult to live out at times. Obedience and patience. But as we are willing to do that, it makes all the difference in the life that God desires to give us. Then the last thing. God's way or your way? You know, I told you that Burger King had that motto. They changed their motto. They officially changed their motto. I don't think it got any better. Their new motto, and I couldn't tell a whole lot of difference, is it? But instead of have it your way, it's be your way. And this is the quote from the Burger King franchise. And I'm not against Burger King. I go there and eat a Whopper occasionally, even though I shouldn't really do that either. But I'm not against Burger King. But I think this just depicts sometimes what our world says. Burger King says in a statement that the new motto, "Be Your Way," is intended to remind people that they can and should live how they want anytime. That's the quote from the franchise as to why they have the motto they do. They put that there because that felt that that would relate and connect to the world and what people really wanted. God has a different plan. Psalm 37, verses 3 through 4 says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart." This is how you do it. When you trust in God, when you delight in Him, when you stay connected to Him, you will then desire what God desires for you. You get that? That you do get. The scripture says you can have the desires of your heart, but you have the desires of your heart because you're so connected to God that you're desiring what God's want. It's not saying, I can't do what I want to, I'm just going to do what God wants to. You're connected enough to God that you want, you desire, you yearn for the same thing that God desires for you. I'm going to ask our musicians to go ahead and come up for our closing invitation, and you'll have an opportunity to respond. I want to share you quickly one thing from vacation. We were, part of our family met a guy in the airport. He had been on a cruise as well. And we sat there, and I noticed he had what looked like oxygen with him. I was kind of impressed he had been on a cruise. But we sat there and we were playing some games, waiting for our airplane to leave, which didn't for a while because of weather. And this guy was a hoot. He had us laughing like crazy, telling us stories, telling us what his trip had been like. I mean, you would have thought if anybody had come up, they would have assumed this guy was a part of our family, the way we were just carrying on with each other. What I didn't find out until after we had left, because my mother-in-law had been there and had a conversation with him before we ever came up, was that he had pulmonary fibrosis. He had been diagnosed with that and was told by his doctor that he had at most a year to live. That was 15 months ago. He just got back off of a cruise that he went on by himself. And he's sitting in an airport carrying on with an 11 and 12 year old and me and my wife and my mother-in-law and hanging out, and he looks like the happiest person in the airport. And he told my mother-in-law, "You know, I'm not done with my bucket list yet. I still got more to do." God has a purpose for us. And when he was going about this bucket list, I can tell you, for him, the bucket list wasn't just about him. It wasn't seeing what he could get and what he could get by with, because he was sharing joy every single where he went. I don't think there's a person he met that he didn't brighten their day. I didn't talk to him enough to know if he's a believer or not. But if I had to guess, I would say that God was a definite part of his life because of the way he was living his life. How are we living ours? Let's stand together. Lord, you have called us as your people, just like the Israelites were your people. And you have a plan and you have a purpose for us. And Lord, sometimes we just want to buck that, and we want to do what we want to, and we want it to be our way. But Lord, help us to seek you on a daily basis and be connected enough to you that what we desire really becomes what you desire for us. Lord, help us to be your people in the way that you desire us to. And God, we do love you, and sometimes we just get so distracted by the world that's around us. Help us not be distracted in that way. Help us to pay attention to your scriptures, to your spirit, to the people that you place in our life to speak to us. Lord, I pray right now that we'll respond to you, whether that response means coming forward and making a commitment here in front of the group of believers that will hold us accountable. Whether it's a decision we might need to make, whether it's something we know we need to do, and God, maybe we need to make that decision to you right now, but then have that conversation sometime when we leave, saying that I made this decision and I want someone to be praying with me about that. Whatever it is, Lord, help us to follow through with what you're asking today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Mm-hmm.